Then the old man took a deep breath, and suddenly, with no warning whatsoever, an explosion seemed to take place inside him. He threw up his arms and yelled, "Yippee!" And at the same time, his long, bony body rose up out of the bed and his bowl of soup went flying into the face of Grandma Josephine. And in one fantastic leap, this old fellow of 96 and a half, who hadn't been out of his bed these last 20 years, jumped onto the floor and started doing a dance of victory in his pyjamas. Lyra was so close to Yorick that she could feel a trembling in him, like a great dynamo, generating mighty amberic forces. She touched him briefly on the neck at the edge of his helmet and said, "Fight well, Yorick, my dear. You're the real king, and he ain't. He's nothing." Then she stood back.
"Bears!" Yorick Bernerson roared. An echo rang back from the palace walls and startled birds out of their nests. He went on. "The terms of this combat are these."
"Peter, I think Curly has your nose."
"Michael takes after you."
She went to him and put her hand on his shoulder. "Dear Peter," she said, "with such a large family, of course, I have now passed my best. But you don't want to change me, do you?"
"No, Wendy."
Certainly he did not want to change, but he looked at her uncomfortably, blinking. You know, like one not sure whether he was awake or asleep. "Peter, what is it?"
"Well, I was just thinking," he said, a little scared. "It is only make-believe, isn't it?"
"Get the book away from her!" shouted Capricorn.
He was standing in front of his chair, bent double, as if he feared his legs would refuse to obey him if he took so much as a step towards the shadow.
"Get it away from her!"
But none of his remaining men moved. None of the boys and none of the women came to his aid. They had eyes for nothing but the shadow as he stood there listening to Meggie's voice, as if she were telling him a long-forgotten tale.
"Indeed. He wanted revenge," Meggie read on.